Hi, I'm Paul. I'm an addict. Hey, Paul. It's good to be here.
Thanks, Dave.
It's good to be in a room full of like-minded people. And a bit daunting as well. I'm doing a chair on Thursday night at a meeting I go to regularly. Doing this next Thursday in Stoke Newington. And that was going to be my first chair in NA. And I was quite looking forward to it because I know most of the people at the meeting. It's quite there's about 20 people. I know them all well, and there's sort of no nerves about that one. And then I was asked to speak here tonight, which is a little bit different. But I've got a lot of gratitude for NA, and this is part of giving something back to the program for me, which is why I'm here. So. Experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to tell you where I came from, what brought me into NA. Qualify myself to speak about this stuff. I was born and brought up in just outside Liverpool. My parents weren't addicts or alcoholics. There was, they drank, as many people do. There was, as far as I'm aware, there's no addiction in our family, so which sort of makes me aware this is very much my problem. The atmosphere I grew up at home was one of security and safety, and I was always encouraged by my parents, to seek a better life, and they encouraged me in education. I went to university. I got a degree at university and came out of that, and I went into a professional job with more exams, and I did all of that. I became an accountant. That's what I do. So it's a lot easier to sit up here and say, "Hi, Paul, I'm Paul, I'm an addict," than it is to sit up here and say, "Hi, Paul, I'm an accountant." quite what that says about me. Ego. I moved down to London with my girlfriend, who I'd met at the back at that time, and we got a flat in London, and I did various jobs, various sort of different sort of accountancy jobs, and then I sort of got the job of my dreams, really, which was I moved to a firm of accountants that just worked within the music industry, and we worked with a lot of bands and a lot of DJs and producers and that sort of thing, and we sort of look after their money and we advise them on their business and how to run it and all that sort of stuff, and some of which I seem to be quite good at, and I really enjoyed it as well, I still enjoy it, and it sort of brings me to where I was 10 years ago. I was 32 years old and I had this great job that I loved, and I was getting paid quite well, and my wife was working and she was getting paid quite well, and we were talking about having children. We had our last holiday planned. We sort of got a trip around South America, before becoming parents and having to sort of do slightly different holidays. And we had a flat, our own flat, with the mortgage and all that sort of stuff. So, everything was really set up quite nicely. And at that point, I'd never taken a drug in my life. I'd had a couple of spliffs over 15 years, probably one a year or something. It just wasn't my thing. And but I drank, and I drank probably more than I should. Probably be classed as a heavy drinker, stroke binge drinker. And and cocaine came sort of round on our scene at that time. And starting to work in music, it was around there a lot as well. And it was something I avoided for a while because, I guess I had this feeling that, it might become a problem if I got into that. And I think I'd never quite have guessed how much. I saw it around a while and sort of stayed away from it. It was an instinct to do that. And then sort of 10 years ago, I sort of had my first, dabbling in cocaine. And, and I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was brilliant. In these situations where I'd get to meet sort of famous people and you know, and or important people or bit of both or whatever, you know, and I used to be terrified. You know, I had no self-confidence in those sort of situations, and I sort of was standing there with nothing to say and that sort of thing. And I found with, you know, with cocaine that, you know, if I could do that, and then I'd meet these people, and I was great, and I was relaxed, and I could talk to them. You know, God, I hate to think what I was really like. You know, I can just imagine, you know, lots of gibbering rubbish and not letting anyone else get a word in. But at the time, it felt like, you know, I was coming across all, you know, cool and relaxed and confident, you know, and all that sort of thing. And you know, so I started doing, you know, quite a lot of that, and it was you know, for a while, you know, it's a classic story. It was you know, it was every other weekend, or and then it was every weekend, and I was going to quite a lot of gigs, and we'd had children by this time, and I was going to quite a lot of gigs sort of on my own, you know, sort of going, and but I'd, you know, I'd meet people there with the band or whatever and all this sort of thing. And you know, it got to a stage where I'd never do that without taking drugs, and you know, I'd take some before I got there, and then I'd have access backstage, and I'd take more there, and you know, and it was becoming sort of every time I went out, and that was becoming sort of three or four times a week, and you know, just a gradual growth, and then it would be, you know, I'd go be going for a quiet drink with a couple of mates, you know, and I think, oh, I've got to take a gram of coke with me, you know, and yeah, and then I'd start waking up in the morning with, and you know, that the compulsion was still there to, you know, if there was anything left from the night before, that would be gone before breakfast, you know, and I was still working as well at the time, and you know, and it just got more and more, and you know, and it got to the point where, you know, 18 months ago, where, you know, and I was, you know, I was working, and I'd got quite senior in this job, you know, and I was, you know, I was doing sort of, well, you know, a lot of cocaine in work every day, day after day, you know, sort of having to wear ridiculously long hours because I was getting, you know, fuck all done while I was there most of the time, and, you know, going in really early to try and do as much work as I could before I, you know, before I couldn't resist ringing a dealer any longer, and I knew the afternoon would totally get wasted, and I'd get wasted, and, you know, and this, you know, this was sort of coming up to, you know, about 15, 18 months ago, and I couldn't afford all this, you know, and I'd taken out personal loans, you know, and nobody knew what was going on. This was, you know, my big secret, and you know, I now know that people did know something was wrong, and I think, you know, in fact, with my family and stuff, you know, nobody realised that I'd become a drug addict. They, you know, they all had different theories as to what was going on, because I was, you know, I was in a state, and I was irritable, and I was not coming home, and, you know, and all this sort of stuff, and you know, people close to me had ideas what it was, but actually nobody got the right answer. I was, you know, I really was managing to keep it secret, although not necessarily the consequences, and you know, I sort of looked after all the family money, so I could cover my tracks, you know. I had debt, you know, I had huge personal debts, and I have a credit card maxed up to the limit, and bank accounts, you know, maxed up to extended overdrafts I'd taken out, and you know, and then we'd remortgaged to do some work on the house, and that had all gone, and you know, and the builders were due to come in, you know, and it was that, you know, it wasn't really a desire to stop using drugs at that point. It was you know, I had to come. I was going to say come clean then, but I had to talk to my family, you know, let them know what was going on, because, you know, well, we had to cancel the builders if nothing else, you know, and I went to, you know, to my family, and, you know, and said, you know, this is what's been going on. There's no money left, you know, there's these debts, and there's this, you know, and I really thought, you know, I thought that would be it. I thought my wife would walk out on me, you know, I fully expected her to, and, you know, and I look back on that now, and I think, you know, I didn't really have, you know, she was quite offended that I thought that, you know, I didn't have that faith in her. And I realise now that, you know, the reality was that I hated and loathed and despised myself at that time. And I just assumed that anyone else would think the same, you know. And what happened was that everyone stood by me, and you know, we sat down, and my parents came up with some money. And my parents aren't well off, you know, and they'd saved their whole lives for this pot of money they had, you know, for their retirement. And you know, two-thirds of it was gone in these debts. And But you know, they stood by me, and we were able to sort of get things straight, and we still had the house, and I still had the job, and I still had my kids and all that, you know, and there was, you know, I had this huge sense of relief, and I was like, right, I'll stop taking drugs now, because you know I got in a real mess here, and now I've got everyone's support, and I went to a drug center, you know, and they sent me to see counselors, and I thought, it's great, I'll stop now, and sorry I did it, but you know, it's going to be all right. And you know, guess what? I couldn't stop. I couldn't believe it, you know. And I went through, we had this 8 month period, which was really worse than any of the earlier stuff, where I was, you know, I'd just wake up every day and say, I'm going to stop. You know, we've cleared all the debts, everything's straight again. You know, people still love me, I'm going to stop. And I'd come home from work that night full of drugs, and I think, what the fuck happened there? You know, and I just couldn't understand it. And it was killing me, it was killing the people around me. And it all blew up. After about 8 months of this sort of hell, it sort of all really blew up. You know, this huge sort of binge, it's cut a long story short. I ended up back in this drug center on a Monday morning. I'd taken the day off work, and I'd hit rock bottom. When people talk about rock bottom, I know exactly what they mean, because I remember being sat in this room waiting for someone to come in to see me, and inside, you know, there was this voice saying, please, please have a solution. I need a solution to this. I need something, you know, because nothing's working. And I know when I hear people say, rock bottom is an inside job, it's not your consequences or your external situation. You know, I know that, because I still had the job, I still had the family, I still had, you know, my house and all of that. But, you know, I really had rock bottomed. And guess what? Three days later, I was in my first NA meeting, and I used once more a couple of days after that, and that was 6 months ago, and I've not used since. The way I've done that is I've done what people have told me to do while I've been in here. I've worked the steps. I got sponsored very quickly, and we started working quite quickly, and I'm doing my amends at the moment. I've done my main amends with my wife, and that was great, and my life's really turning round, and I think the thing that did it for me in NA, you know, when I came in, and it says this in our text somewhere, but it says, we were relieved to find out we had a disease, not a moral deficiency. And I never had any idea that I had a disease. You know, it just hadn't occurred to me. I thought I was weak-willed because I couldn't stop using. And that gave me great hope, because I'd go to meetings and I'd listen to people doing what I'm doing now and telling their stories. And it didn't matter that they come from different backgrounds to me. It didn't matter they'd used a different drugs. It didn't matter that they'd had different consequences to me. It didn't matter. You know, none of that mattered. When they talked about their thinking, and their insanity and that, you know, I could identify with people with the most different stories to mine. I got that identification straight away from people. And that gave me hope, because I thought, you know, I could sit in a meeting and I'd say, this guy or this woman who's talking, you know, they've got the same disease that I've got, and they're 6 months clean, or a year clean, you know, or 5 years clean, or 10, or whatever. And I thought, you know, they've just done this program, so if I do it, you know, it's going to be all right. And, you know, and it's been as simple as that for me. You know, I just sort of get on with doing it. I try to put my bit back in. I try to do service. Give people my number. You know, and genuinely want them to call me. You know, when they need to. You know, and that's what I do. And it's been great. The turnaround in my life in 6 months has been fantastic. You know, I realized afterwards how close I was to blowing everything in my job. I realized how many things had come really to the crunch. But I was just in time to turn those things around. And there's been a lot of changes now in my job. And I've basically had this sort of pretty big promotion since then. And you know, and my relationships are improving, you know, and all these things are getting better because I put this first, you know. And it can be difficult, you know, with a family and with a job and responsibilities and all of that. But this, you know, I put this first, and you know, and everything else has turned around. I think I'm running out of time. I'll just finish on this. Things have been great, but I know I need to keep going on this. I heard someone sharing earlier this week who's been around for more than 10 years, and you know, this one of these people I look up to in the rooms who knows their stuff, and he said, you know, I'm just as powerless today as I was the first day I walked in, and I need to remember that. You know, I need to remember that on my own, I'm as powerless today as I was, you know, when I went into that first meeting 6 months ago. But as long as I keep coming back here, keep doing this stuff, I've got a power in my life, and things are all right. I'll leave it there. Thanks.